This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into BetQLU, a very special edition of BetQLU, as one of us has the privilege of being at the center of the sports universe this week in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. That's my man, RJ Choppy. He's in Vegas. Is this Mandalay Bay? Are you at Mandalay Bay right now?
Yes, sir. Mandalay Bay all week. All week we've been here. I just moved in here. This is my new setup. I'm going to be here for the remaining time that we do this show. I'm going to be here every week doing the show right from here. I don't see myself leaving. I don't see myself moving. I just don't. This is amazing out here at Radio Row and in the Super Bowl all week.
No, and you look amazing with the snazzy technology and the cameras and the what is it like, just lighting? Is that the difference right now? You must have amazing lighting.
It's great lighting. It's not me. I look pretty hideous. I mean, you see the bags under my eyes. My radio show that I normally do on 105 Through the Fan in Dallas, it's 5:30 to 10 Central Time. We are Pacific Time. It is 3:30 to 8 a.m. I'm up at 2:30 every morning.
Unreal. That's unreal. You're soldiering through.
140 minute nap all week.
But you go to bed later, right? I mean, it's a trade off, right? I mean, it's like, 9:30 out there is like, it's late, but it's not. So I don't know. It all kind of comes out in the wash. Look, we got a lot to get to on the show today. College basketball. Obviously, RJ's been out in Vegas all week long, just absolutely smashing every sports book in sight with the sharpest bets you can imagine. And we'll get to one of those here in just a moment. We'll obviously update you on the college football slate this weekend, get into that as we always do. And then maybe if we have some time, a little football discussion, as there have been some interesting developments in the world of college football. But RJ, man, you are there in Vegas. How's it been? How's this, first Super Bowl there in Vegas? Has it been a crazy scene?
Yes, it's great, man. Like this, I heard this is the most media credentials they've ever given out for like a Radio Row at the Super Bowl. There's like 180 different stations, if you want to call them that, podcasts at the convention center. And for the first time, I mean, less than a third of them are radio stations. I mean, there's mostly just podcasters and publications of any kind, TV stations, whatever. It is a completely different ballgame. But, dude, it is nuts. The strip's crazy. All the books can feel it. Like, they're much – this book, this is the first time I've been in this one this week, but you can feel the energy here today especially. Like the first day, Tuesday, Wednesday, meh. You get a Thursday of Super Bowl week, and everyone's in town. The Rock is here today. The Rock was here.
Yes, he is.
Walking around.
Yes.
All the athletes are here, man. Like, it's cool.
I went to the I actually watched the Super Bowl last year from Allegiant as part of a unique situation, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just amazing. So to actually think about the game – playing out there. I mean, it's a beautiful stadium, man. It is going to be a scene. By the way, real quick before we get into college basketball, have you made a bet yet for the Super Bowl? Have you put anything in?
I've not.
Wow.
I've got an idea, a few bets. I'm gonna go today. I've been trying to make a little bit more of a bankroll here, man. And I've done well. I've done well for myself this week.
Oh,
outside of one time. I've done. The craps table's been very nice to me. The blackjack table.
Good for you.
Sportsbook's been nice.
Good for you.
Except for one thing. And we will talk about that. But no, I am going to make all my Super Bowl bets tonight.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we should talk a little bit at least about the, you know, because sometimes it's just comical, right? Sometimes it's just, you're just so wrong. It's not even, so just some background. RJ gets to Vegas. He's got the itch. He wants to bet on something. He's trying to, you know, he hasn't gotten his bearings yet. What's the play? So I'll hold my hand up for this one. I'll raise my hand. Okay. I thought Georgia Tech at home getting 5 against Wake Forest was a good spot. And I think Georgia Tech had like 5 points in the first 14 minutes of the game, something like that.
Yeah, see that I must have just misread the text. I think you meant to say bet Georgia Tech to score 5 points in the first 16 minutes. That's what I think you meant to say. Yeah. Because it was 31-5. It was 31-5 with like 4.5 minutes to go in the half, and I'm out. This is over. They made a cute little run.
Were you watching the whole thing?
I was watching the entire thing because my buddy that I was with, he had bet some. He bet it had a comma in it. Okay, his number had a comma in it. He bet first half Bowling Green Buffalo. Nobody bets first half Bowling Green Buffalo unless you're a complete degenerate. And it was Bowling Green -7.5. And they were tied with like 2 minutes to go. They go on an 8-0 run to end the half, and he covers. And he's going nuts. Wow. Meanwhile, I'm tearing my ticket up piece by piece over the final like 15 minutes of this basketball game. Tale of two different tickets. That's what it was.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we have a rundown every time we do the show. Yeah. And, you know, that our man Zach puts together and does an amazing job. And he's got a question here. You know, will we make a worse bet all season? It's honestly, it's a fair question because it was DOA, right? I mean, yeah. It was just dead on arrival. I mean, I don't know if you saw the post-game press conference, but Damon Stoudemire, the coach of Georgia Tech, he was asked for an opening statement when he got to the press conference, and he said, "Got that ass whooped." Off the top of my head, I don't know if I'll make a – I mean, I've made some bad ones, right? It's kind of hard to separate, but that was definitely because that's the worst thing, right? When you bet an underdog and you just know in the first 10 minutes of the game you're completely dead.
Right, because in order to pull an upset, I mean, you need to have some things go your way. First of all, you can't turn the ball over like they did. You got to make your three-pointers. And then the other team can't make their shots, right? You need all those things. Now, a home upset's a little bit different, but for the most part, if you're going to pull the upset, dude, like, you've got to have that team be off, you be on, and then you not help them out. Well, all three went the opposite way for Georgia Tech that night. It was a complete destruction from the start. And I was, you know, look, I'm glad they gave me drink tickets. I'll just say
wrong side.
That's it.
You were on the wrong side on that. We were on the wrong side. But, yes, hopefully they gave you double. You deserve double the amount of drink tickets for that specific bet. All right, let's get to some other results around the country. Earlier in the week, Auburn, which was really looking for a signature win this season. I like this team, but they had not really had that signature win to date. Right. And they got it on Wednesday night, getting revenge on Alabama, number 16 ranked Alabama. I mean, just it was just a destruction. 99-81. Yeah. Janai Broome, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 5 blocks. Obviously, you look around the SEC. You have Tennessee. You have Alabama. But how quickly, RJ, in that discussion, do you think the Auburn Tigers need to be?
Look, they were a team that you had to see them do it, right? They had a pretty poor non-conference strength of schedule. They didn't play anybody at all. You needed to see a win. You needed to see a big win over a good team, and you need to see a good road win. And they're going to have their chance. I mean, they're going to have their chances in the SEC to play a number of teams. There's like, what, 6 teams in the conference in the top 25. They're going to have their chance in the tournament, the SEC tournament. I don't know. They're probably not in line for a 1 seed. They're probably going to be too far away. I don't think their schedule is going to be good enough in the non-conference to be able to get one unless a couple of teams at the top just completely tank. But, I mean, they're clearly good enough. I mean, Bruce Pearl has shown that he can win everywhere. Mm-hmm. He can win in the mid-major. He can win at two different schools in the SEC. I think winning at Auburn is even more impressive than what he did at Tennessee because, I mean, he's doing this after he was basically banned for a couple of years. And you got to be banned and then convince guys to go to your school still and convince guys that you're not going to, you know, be thrown out of the league in a couple of years. I mean, what he has done, dude, the guy's the truth, man.
Yeah, but he's already taken Auburn to a Final Four, and that's that's not an easy program to do that at. And yeah, I mean, in terms of their seed, I mean, they have a few opportunities left. They have South Carolina at home, which obviously that's going to be a better that's a better game than anybody would have expected coming into the season. Then you have Kentucky at home. Then you're at Tennessee on the 28th, and that's really it. I don't think even if they sweep those three games that they're probably a one. I think that probably is going to leave them still as a two. But Auburn is absolutely a team that I'm interested in backing moving forward. I just think that's a team that's pretty complete.
Look, that Tennessee game on the road, I mean, that might be – for the one seed in the conference. I mean, that might be to win the conference.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah,
I mean,
very well could all be. Yeah. Teams,
right. Auburn and Tennessee and Alabama and what, South Carolina. They all have two losses in conference. Yep. They're all probably gonna lose another conference game. And then it's just gonna shake down on head to head stuff. And you know, like that game very well could be, you know, for the overall one seed.
Yep. Absolutely. So Auburn is just a team that, you know, depending on situation, I and I've said this before, but I think, you know, again, when you talk about the NCAA tournament, that's a team that I think has very, very much a chance to be there when it's all said and done, you know, in the Final Four there in Arizona. All right, a few more things we need to touch on. Kansas, after putting together one of the most complete performances of the season against Houston, they go down in overtime to Kansas State as 5.5-point favorites. I think it sort of illustrates in some ways the peril of Kansas, whereas like when they're at home and you know the old adage, role players play better at home, they're going to be great. They're going to be very difficult to beat. But when you get out of that, when you get out of the home court advantage at Fog, it's like I don't know if they're a team I can really trust, especially if I have to lay a big number. Is that where you are on Kansas, RJ, or do you still like them even with the rivalry loss?
I mean, look, I still like them. I mean, teams are going to lose games. It's tough when you lose home games, but teams are going to lose games. I mean, just look at, and I know they're completely on different opposite ends of the spectrum, but you know that was a big win they had, you know, against Houston. We saw Nebraska do the same thing. They had a big win against Wisconsin. They showed up the next week and they lost a tough. They lost back to back games to Northwestern and Illinois. You know, like that's just tough, right? It's tough to you get a big win. There's sometimes a letdown, especially when you're a favorite. And sometimes when you get a big win, you want another big game. And I know a rivalry game should be a big game, but you want another game against a team equal to or greater than you to avoid that. They didn't. They got bit. They got bit by a team that was hungry. And, you know, look, you're gonna lose. These are 18-year-old kids. You're going to lose some games. You're going to have freaks.
A little older these days because of the portal and the COVID year. But yes, they're still like most of these guys are tax-paying adults.
They are.
You know,
they are. They're millennials, man. They got millennials playing these games now.
That's right. Born in 91 playing, you know?
I know, right?
So yes, but no, it is part of it. Real quick, I want to run through these before we get to a break here. Carolina lost at home to Clemson after beating Duke. Kentucky finally gets off the mat and pummels Vanderbilt. Wisconsin loses at Michigan as a 5.5-point favorite. And Zach's got the question on here, which one of these was the most notable, noteworthy? RJ, I'm going to say that it was Wisconsin. This is a Wisconsin team that not long ago was in talks to be a one seed. People really took them credibly as a one seed. They killed Michigan State at home. But they've now lost three in a row. And I think it's sort of the same things. It's like, is there enough, you know, is there enough on this team? You know, I felt like watching that Purdue game over the weekend that they just lacked enough shooting. You know, I think that's sort of the issue. But which one of the games we talked about, which one felt whether it's to the positive or the negative, which one felt most noteworthy to you?
You know, the Carolina's a home loss. That's tough. Clemson never beats Carolina in Carolina, like, historically, right? But the Wisconsin one, for me, I took Wisconsin in the first half. I took them -3.5 in that game. And they were kind of struggling the entire first half. They struggled the entire game, really. Michigan's a bad team. Michigan should not have done that to them. They can't get out of their own way right now. Michigan couldn't.
Yep.
And in this game, like, Wisconsin was the one that looked like they were in shambles. Wisconsin was the one that looked like they couldn't win Big Ten games. It wasn't Michigan. Michigan looked like a team that had been ranked all year.
Yeah, it was a rude awakening for that Wisconsin team that is certainly out of that discussion now, no question about it. Look, we got a lot more to get to. As always, a packed Saturday slate, which we will touch on this weekend, as we have a very interesting one: Illinois at Michigan State, Auburn, Florida. We have Tennessee, Texas A&M. So we'll get into all of that and more here on the show. You're watching BetQLU with RJ live from Vegas. And John Martin in Memphis. All right, welcome back to BetQLU. We're talking all things college basketball. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. We are just 5 weeks away from Selection Sunday, and we're in the heart of conference play, and we have a pretty good feel for the most part on what teams are and are not about. But felt like it's a good time now to just sort of update everybody and sort of take a survey of who's in, who's out, who's trending up, who's trending down. And to help us sort through all this, we're going to add in our man Zach Kroll, who's our producer, has been working with us all season long, and always good to get back to three is company. So fellas, let's get started. RJ Gonzaga, who is ranked 28th in the net, they're 0-5 in quad one games. They do not have a quad one win. They do not currently have a victory over a team in the NCAA tournament field. They just lost to St. Mary's. We know that they probably do have some reputation working for them, but does this have the feel of an at-large NCAA tournament team to you, RJ?
Look, I don't think it does. I do think that, like, their reputation might help them out. There's no doubt about that. It's unavoidable. These are humans, right? You can't avoid people just thinking, oh, Gonzaga, you know, they got to be in. There's no doubt. They have to be better than, you know, Colorado. They have to be better than Washington State. They have to be, right? They're Gonzaga. But, man, I don't know. I don't watch this team and think, oh, man, that's a team that can pull, like, three upsets and make the Elite Eight. I just don't see it. So I think they might be out. You've got to win at least a quad one game or two. You can't have that kind of record, I don't think, in a quad one, even though their net's pretty good.
Zach, what do you think?
RJ said it, man. They're 0-5 in quadrant one games. This is a team that doesn't really have a win right now over anyone that's projected to make the NCAA tournament. And I watched them a little bit against St. Mary's. And the one thing that really stood out to me watching that game on Saturday was this just isn't a vintage Gonzaga team. There's no Jalen Suggs or no Chet Holmgren walking through that door. And for the first time in a while, I thought the talent on both sides of the court between those two rivals looked pretty even. Now, they'll have a big opportunity to kind of move the needle on Saturday, playing at Rupp Arena against Kentucky. That's a non-conference game that we see in the middle, beginning of February. We don't really see that often, but that's a game they got to win. And I think right now their only chance to get there is by winning the WCC tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I the last time I got involved with Gonzaga was December 15th. Because they play so late, I'm like already in bed or winding down or whatever. But the last time I got involved with them was against UConn. I took the points, Gonzaga +4.5 or something, and they were just – now, granted, I mean, this is UConn, right? I mean, this is the number one team in the country, and they were – you know, they had a healthy cling-in. But, I mean, Gonzaga got dominated essentially at home. I mean, this was you know, basically a home game. It wasn't at their place, but it was – I think it, you know, one of the neutral venues close enough to where it would have been mostly Gonzaga fans, and it was just a rout. And I look at this Gonzaga team, and man, they're just so limited. They're so limited. They play, as always, they play really short rotations, and I just don't, you know, Graham EK is about what they have in Watson, and you get past that, and it's pretty thin. And they're gonna have chances, right? I mean, they have Kentucky coming up, and they have St. Mary's on the road again, but if they don't win those two, you know, I definitely don't see this happening for them, other than winning their league tournament, which they probably will, is my guess.
Yeah,
I mean, my guess is that they probably, you know, so this is all moot. But look, I mean, we're not used to this, right? We're not used to this for Gonzaga having to get in via the tournament. And I don't know. I just wonder what that means for the future of Mark Few at Gonzaga. I sort of think all that sort of comes into play. But, no, I would say definitely out right now. And then the side question is, would it be good for college basketball if they missed the dance? Would it be bad? Would it not matter? I mean, I tend to think it would probably not matter because we're used to Gonzaga not winning anyway. So I don't know that it would be, you know, it's like it's going to be some great loss. Oh, my God, Gonzaga's not in. We have to shut down the tournament.
Yeah, they're new money. They're new money, man. Like, they don't have a fan base like Carolina does. You know, Carolina or Duke miss. I mean, that's a different tournament. Gonzaga misses. I mean, they got a great program, and like mad respect to what they've done, but they don't have a following. They don't have a national following. They have a national following because they're a small school. People like them because they're like the Detroit Lions, man. Like, the Detroit Lions became like America's sweetheart this year, not because everybody loves the Lions. It's because, like, hey, they're the cute little story. And that's Gonzaga. But, like, we're 20 years into that story. Like, they're going to miss. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on down the list here. Virginia, which is now coming on strong, and it's starting to look like one of those Tony Bennett performances, now up to 32 in the net. They just handled Miami. I mean, just destroyed them. 38 for the game is all Miami could muster. 29% from the field. 2 quad one wins. 4-2 in quad two. Zach, does this sort of have the feel of a Virginia team that's picking up steam and is going to, you know, find its way in? What do you think?
It's funny, John. Going into the season, I was really wondering if Tony Bennett was a guy built for the transfer portal NIL era. When Virginia was at the peak of their powers, winning national championships, getting one seeds, they had older, experienced guys that have been in the system for a couple of years now. And they have that a little bit. Reese Beekman has been there for a couple of years. He's really good. Isaac McNeely, really good shooter that stands out. But I was just surprised how they handled Miami. Like, I don't know if you guys saw, but Jim Larrañaga just walked away from the huddle in the middle of the game. He quit on his team, and you understand why. But the ACC, it's kind of murky, man. There aren't really that many opportunities for quality wins. I'll give them the slight nod right now, but I think they're one of those teams that they're on the fringe of the bubble. Like, every game for them matters, and that was a big win for them to beat Miami on Monday.
Where are you at, RJ?
Man, I think they're going to wind up getting in. I'm just bored by them, dude. Like, I get they're a great defensive team. They're like watching paint dry, man. Their offense sucks. It's bad. Like, I can't watch that team play. And, you know, at least they were like the number one team in the nation. They were dominant. It was like, it was fun to watch, right? Their offense was good enough. It was fun to watch. This is boring. This is bad basketball. There's nothing I find. I'm insulted by bad basketball. Like, I get very, very angry. And I'm forced to watch the Mavericks play, all right? And how do you think? And they're the opposite. They don't play defense at all. They just score 150 points a night.
That's right.
This is bad basketball. This is bad basketball Virginia has. If you're going to be bad, if you're going to be middling and boring, at least score points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely know how they want to win. And obviously, you look at their last five games, you know, point totals of 59, 69, 65, 66, 60. That is the way they want to win. I think if you look at their projected record at Torvik right now, 22-9, 13-7 in the ACC, that's going to be enough. I think that's going to be enough. Yeah, I mean, and I realize that the ACC is definitely down from what we are accustomed to, but I just don't see a world where a Virginia team in the 30s of the net with a 22-9 record, and we'll see what happens, obviously, in the ACC tournament. But let's just say they get a win in the ACC tournament, 23-10, you're getting in. Tony Bennett's not getting left out. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, will they make a deep run? I mean, I think that's kind of a totally separate question, but I definitely do think they'll be in. All right, moving on down the line here. Colorado ranked 30 in the net. And they are 1-4 in quad one games. Do have Arizona this weekend. Arizona, last time we saw them, you know, kind of scary, kind of spooky there with Stanford. Yep. Took a hell of a second half collapse from Stanford for that to happen for Arizona. But we know the talent is there. RJ, does Colorado feel like a tournament team to you at large?
You know, you're top 40 in both offensive defense on KenPom. I think that's a tourney team. Now they didn't play. They played a high school non-conference schedule. Man, that was downright embarrassing. That was not a good non-conference schedule. You can't do anything. You don't know that Florida State's not going to be the normal great. They're not going to be great. Miami's going to have a down year, but I would think that they're in, not safe. Maybe they're in the first four, but I think they're I would call them a tourney team today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Zach, what do you think?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. It's just so interesting to me with this team is a lot of the people you hear, they're saying, oh, this draft is terrible, the NBA draft that's upcoming. Yeah. It's going to be one of the worst we've ever seen. But Colorado might have the best NBA prospect that's playing college basketball right now, Cody Williams. His brother is Jalen Williams on the Thunder. They also have KJ Simpson and Tristan Da Silva, two guys that are both projected to be first-round picks in the NBA. I think it really might come down to this Arizona game. It's a game they got to have. They need a signature win, and I think they get it done. You know, we're going to hit on that game a little bit later in the show, but Tad Boyle, he's a pretty solid coach. I think they find their way in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of flip a coin with them right now. I mean, the metrics that are good, 1-4 in quad one is not going to be good enough. And I think they have a lot of booby traps that they have to avoid. UCLA on the road, USC on the road, you know, Utah at home. You know, these are going to be, I feel like, you know, very interesting games that could go the wrong way for them. So I am going to just say no. I am going to say that they do not make the NCAA tournament because they don't get all those. They'll be favored, but I don't think they'll get all of them. And I think ultimately when you try to make a resume and you try to make a case for Colorado, you're going to ask, what did they do? And the answer is going to be really nothing. And I think ultimately that's going to be the difference in why they do not ultimately get in. All right, Texas, moving on down the line here. Texas is 38th in the net. They are 4-5 against quad ones. RJ, Texas, in or out?
Here's my thing with Texas, okay? They've played a very difficult schedule. You've got to – they played UConn, they played Marquette, they played Houston, they played Iowa State, they played BYU. Those are good teams, man. Like that's a gauntlet. Now, they lost them all for the most part. They lost a lot of them. They had good couple of wins lately, Baylor, Oklahoma, TCU. They still have Houston again. They still have Kansas, and that Kansas game's on. Both those games are on the road. Baylor's on the road too. I don't think they're going to get in. They're going to have too many losses. I think like today, the tournament started today. I would say, dude, you're going to get some credit for playing those games and having that tough schedule. But they have too many. They're going to have 11-12 losses this year. I just don't see it.
What do you think, Zach?
I agree. And this is a team to me that's just soft. I understand that Rodney Terry did a really good job last year getting them all the way to the Elite Eight. They really should have been to the Final Four. They had a nice lead on Miami in that game. But there have just been too many head-scratching losses. And then all of the horns down thing with the fans at BYU, with the UCF players. I'm just not a huge fan of this Texas team. I think they miss as well.
I disagree with you guys vehemently. I think Texas is way in. Unless they just totally implode here, I think they're going to be way in. Simply because of, if you have four quad one wins and you have any sort of respectable record in the Big 12, yeah. I just don't think they're. You have to field 68. You have to put 68 yeah. teams in this thing. Again, when you look at some of the things that they've done, you got to win it against Baylor on the road at Oklahoma, overtime loss to Houston, but you won at TCU, I just don't know how you keep that team out again, provided it's not just a disaster down the stretch. So I'll say Texas does wind up getting in. And then finally, St. John's, they're 43 in the net. They're 2-7 in quad one. They do have wins over Dayton. Is Villanova even a good win anymore? 12-2 outside quad one. Zach, what do you think about St. John's resume?
I think they get in just because Rick Pitino is their head coach and they do play their best basketball, usually towards March and when you need to. But they've had some missed opportunities, losing at home to Marquette, losing at home to UConn. I think this is a team that's going to keep getting better as the season goes on, as the schedule gets easier. But, man, I was thinking that they were going to get at least one of those games against either Marquette or UConn at home.
Yeah, they needed one of those games. I think if they make it to the semis of the Big East tournament, they got a really good chance. Other than that, man, I'm not putting my faith in the committee. There's too many teams out there that are on the bubble. Too many names. Especially if Gonzaga's on the bubble with them. They need to make the semis.
There's two ways to look at it, right? There's opportunities. There's opportunities for St. John's because they play in the Big East. There's also, in the same breath, opportunities to lose those games. Analytically, they're projected to beat Creighton at home. Is that really going to happen? I don't know. They're projected to beat Seton Hall at home. These are very difficult games in this league to just assume a win. I don't think you can do that really against anybody. Georgetown on the road, I'm just not necessarily there. And so I think for those reasons, look, Rick Pitino is a great fit for that job. And if he wants to be there, he's gonna kill it. He's going to do a great job. But if I were betting, I think right now, Torvik has them with a 63% chance to get an at-large bid. If I could bet no at that price, at 37% chance no, I would definitely bet no. Just because, again, they still, to me, have work to do when you only have two wins in the quad one category. So, again, opportunities for them to win and improve that resume, but also opportunities to stub your toe and not quite get there. I guess it's a good problem to have, but it is what the Johnnies are going to have to deal with the rest of the way. All right, we have a lot more to get to. Saturday, shaping up to be a very good day in college basketball. We'll break down that slate. Also, some news in college football. Stick around. You're watching BetQLU right here on the BetQL. Hi, welcome back to BetQLU on the BetQL Network. We are on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page. We are on Odyssey app, wherever you may find us. Appreciate you making us a small part of your weekend, getting ready for what should be a fantastic Saturday in college basketball. I always like to sort of use these segments as look-aheads. Obviously, we're going to use KenPom projections, as we always do. RJ, let's go down the list here. Start it off. 1 o'clock Central Time, Illinois at Michigan State. KenPom projects this as a 1-point win for the Spartans. What do you make of this one in the Big Ten?
Dude, I like Michigan State. I got to give credit, dude. They started off awfully, awful. They were terrible. And, they've cobbled together a decent enough schedule to the point where they're safely in today. They're safely in the dance. I did not expect this at the beginning of the year. They lose to Nebraska, lose to James Madison. I saw Wisconsin firsthand against Tennessee. I didn't think they were that great. They lose to Wisconsin. They lost them by double digits. I got to hand it to them, man. Like they're there. Here they are. They're just sitting here again, ready to make the tournament. And do not think for a second that if you're a two seed, you want to see them in the second round. If they're a seven, you don't want to see that.
Yeah, I agree about that point in terms of this one. If it's this short, I like Illinois. But that's really mostly because I'm pretty high on Illinois. You know, with Rodgers and obviously Terrence Shannon Jr. is back in the fold. But also, you know, Marcus Domask, like they have a lot working for them just positionally. They can obviously have their nights where they can fill it up. But they just find ways to win. And I think they kind of do it again this weekend against a Michigan State team that is a little schizophrenic to me. You know, like I feel like I want to believe them and I want to, you know, go all the way in. And a couple of weekends ago when they were at Wisconsin, I did. They lose. They get just their doors blown off. Now, granted, that was at Wisconsin. But Wisconsin is, you know, let go of the rope since then. And they lose at Minnesota earlier this week. So I just don't really know what to feel about Michigan State. The shooting is just not there. Sometimes they look a little dysfunctional. If it's a short number, I'm going to be on Illinois here. But that's mostly just because I'm high on Illinois and low on Michigan State. All right, Auburn, number 12 ranked Auburn on the road at Florida. KenPom's got this projected at 4, Auburn minus 4, RJ. What do you think?
I think if Auburn has any, you know, aspirations of a one seed in the tournament, which that's probably a little unrealistic, but even a two seed, you got to win a game at Florida on the road. Florida's not a great team. They're good. They're going to be the tournament team most likely, but this is a team you got to win on the road. I don't think necessarily covering, but they got to win. I would probably lean Florida and the 4, but still take off from them. You want to do a money line bet, go down that road.
Yeah, I'm fine laying the 4. I'm fine with it. I have been a big fan of this Auburn team. I will say the one thing that gives me a little bit of pause on them in this spot specifically, and you remember this from the 08 season, Bruce Pearl was all in on beating Memphis in that 1 versus 2, right? She was all in on it. And then the next game they lost at Vandy. The very next game they lost to Vandy. So it's John like Foster. Bruce Pearl. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right, bro. Exactly right. So it's like Bruce Pearl is elite at getting his teams ready for the biggest games. He's elite at it. He's one of the best, I think, in the country. But it's like games like this. Like this Florida team is unranked. You know, like they don't jump off the page at you. They're not like some threat in the SEC to you. So can he have them ready to go, or is this going to be sort of an emotional letdown spot? I think that's going to be the question. But look, it doesn't really change my opinion of Auburn one way or the other. I think they have all of the ingredients you need to make a run. So I'll say that Bruce Pearl's learned from, you know, 17 years ago, and he gets them ready to go this weekend at Florida. All right, Gonzaga at number 17, Kentucky, minus 3 for the Wildcats at KenPom. RJ, what do you think?
I like the over, dude. And I know it's a big number. 167 is a huge number. Kentucky, I mean, they can't stop a nosebleed, man. They can't stop anybody. I don't have a great feel on Kentucky. They're way too sporadic for me. I do know they don't play a lick of defense. Not a lick. Like they give 100 and some points to Tennessee. If I was touching this game, I would touch the over. I hate taking overs. I'm a miserable human being. Give me the unders all day. I don't know that you can make a number high enough for Kentucky right now on the total.
I agree with that, and I think I would probably be interested in Gonzaga if you're giving me, you know, a full bucket here at 3. I mean, the one area where Kentucky really struggles is that interior defense, and I think Gonzaga's guards will be, you know, they'll be able to do enough to sort of go tit for tat and back and forth with Kentucky. So I think that's probably a wash. But I think Graham Ike really is able to go off against whoever it ends up being on the interior. They want to start Big Z. They could start Big Z. I don't think it really matters. I think Gonzaga's bigs probably feast in this one. And it would not shock me if they get the outright win, which will make, three straight home losses? Three straight losses at Rupp,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
That would be a very interesting night in Lexington if it goes like that. I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to see how they react, RJ. I want to kind of see, how does the fan base handle – because you're starting to hear – you're starting to hear some things about Cal potentially, moving on or Kentucky moving on, however they end up framing it, because, it has been a while since they made a Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Probably too long for that program.
For that program? It's been way too long. I mean, we're at a decade now?
I think it is about, maybe 9 years, yeah.
I think I was at that game. That was the Frank Kaminsky game. I was at that game at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. For that program? No.
Yeah.
Tough. Alabama not going to a Final Four in football.
And so, I don't know how you off ramp that, with Cal, but we'll see how it goes. Number 3 ranked North Carolina on the road at Miami. Both teams off of losses. North Carolina -7, RJ, according to KenPom's projections.
Yeah, dude, I know Miami scores a lot more points at home than they do on the road. Miami, there is no way they are stopping North Carolina offensively. There's no way they're going to stop them. They didn't even put up 40 against Virginia. Carolina's got a really good defense. I see this one as I'll take Carolina in the points in this one.
I completely agree. Miami's just bad. And as Zach pointed out in the last segment, you got Larinaga walking off in the huddle. I don't know if the NIL money is drying up or what. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, I think this is a great spot. And again, laying points on the road in college basketball is not something that I love to do. It's not like I don't look to do that, but I do think situationally this is definitely a spot where, there could be margin. There could now obviously that's priced into that number at 7, but I believe in this Carolina team, and I think they find a way to win with margin over Miami this weekend. Number 13 ranked Baylor at number 4 Kansas. That is a projection of Kansas -3 in Big 12 country. RJ, what do you think?
If it's only 3, give me Kansas. I don't know how this only goes off at 3. I would think this is a little bit higher than that. I think, Kansas coming off a loss, they ain't going to lose again. They ain't going to lose at home. I think this number probably goes off closer to 5. I'll take Kansas all day. I know Baylor's got a tough team, and, if you're not shooting the ball well against them, if you can't make them stretch that, when they go into the zone, I'll take Kansas by 3, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's where we'll be. I just think this gets, and again, because, it sort of reminds me of the Houston game, right? Most of the analytics, whether it was KenPom, whether it was Torvik, they had that Houston game as a Houston 5-point win, okay? That number was a pick 'em. It was a pick 'em. It was not -4.5. Like, you cannot underestimate or underrate the home court advantage of Fog Allen. They're just a different team. I think this is a little short. If it's 3, I agree. I'll definitely be on it. I think the question starts to get 4.5, 5.5, but I still think Kansas is the right side in this one. So, for whatever reason, the analytics have not done a great job of accounting for that. And I think it has to matter here. All right, roll through these here real quick. Tennessee at Texas A&M. Tennessee -5 on the road, RJ.
I don't like this as a road team here. I think A&M would cover this one if it's 4 or 5 points. Tennessee might win the game, but A&M's they're tricky, and Tennessee doesn't play well there historically. They don't play well at Reed. I would probably take A&M in the points.
And then lastly, we'll just do what for our Pac-12 audience here. 8 ranked Arizona at Colorado. Arizona only -3 projected over at KenPom.
Ooh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. It's a much bigger game, obviously, for Colorado than Arizona. I know Arizona might, have an outside shot. They get to 2, maybe they get to 1. But I think it's a huge game for Colorado. I like Colorado in the three. I think they might pull the upset, maybe a money line bet here.
Wow. I'm on the complete opposite side, bro.
You're wrong. It's okay. You're allowed to be wrong.
I just love like this Tech. Arizona team.
Just like that Georgia Tech bet you gave me.
You can't hold my one loser against me, man. I mean, we've been doing this show for 9 months. I got one loser. That's it. It was that one. I love Arizona. They went on the road into Oregon and handed Oregon their first home loss of the season.
Yeah, they did.
They're not studying this spot. I think they're built for this. Caleb Love loves it. He eats it up, man. So if you're giving me a short number like this, I know Colorado definitely – there's a reason why this number is what it is, yeah. And they're a good team, and they need it. But I love Arizona, man. I have a bias for Caleb Love. I'm rooting for that kid because of everything he went through at Carolina. And they're pretty damn loaded, man. That Arizona team is fun to watch. When they get going, they look like, you know, to me, one of the best two teams in college basketball. Hey, that's going to do it for us for this edition of BetQLU on the BetQL Network. For my man RJ Choppy, be safe in Vegas. Hold it down. Have a great time. Let me know if you need any more winners. I'm John Martin. Thanks for hanging out with us here on BetQLU on the BetQL Network. And we'll see you next week.